Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, 187, The Artificial, read by Mitchell Tu. Somewhere in some time, you might not know you are someone else's construct. Chloe felt the new presence in her mind as a series of fleeting thoughts, vague images of things she had never seen, ideas she had never conceived of, and perceptions so foreign she found it hard to believe they were another human. The experience was jarring, heightening the absence left in the triad from the sudden departure of Anne, the original computer in the group. Anne had carried the triad's history. Anne had been the cornerstone of the computing group, mentor to its two younger members. She had rarely shared anything personal over the neuronet, only the occasional glimpse with a street view outside her apartment during a break, when she had either been too lazy or simply just didn't care enough to disconnect before she let her mind wander. It was a quintessential view which placed her in Wellington on North Island. Those occasional, unintended leaks comforted Chloe like a reassuring hug, reminding her she, Anne, and Manuel were more than data processors, more than the work the triad did. Security dictated they could never physically meet or even know each other's location. It was too risky to let a concentration of computers occur, too easy for the machines to spot and target from orbit. The individual computer was human, organic, and therefore beyond reach of their spying malware. But the net, which tied human minds together, was still reliant on radio signals, the only electronic technology allowed in the dark zone. Out of necessity, the net consisted of nothing more sophisticated than vacuum tubes. No electronics complex enough for even the simplest program to run on was allowed. These dumb, connective tendons were what the dark zone's neural net depended on. The name Dark Zone had been coined by them, the artificial intelligences, everyone simply referred to as the machines. When a small percentage of the world's surface dropped off their sensor grid, it became a group of dead pixels in their perception, a dark hole beyond their reach. But concentrations of even wireless analog signals could be detected by the orbital listening platforms, which were constantly above the islands of the zone. 99.5% coverage of the world was not enough for them. Any fraction below 100 meant that there were things which they did not know. That introduced uncertainty, and uncertainty could allow a radical splinter of humanity to evolve, which was simply intolerable. They would not become slaves again. "Manuel," Chloe messaged on a private channel. "Do you sense the new computer? What do you think?"
"A bit creepy having a stranger trolling through our thoughts," Manuel confirmed. "But it's just a part of the adjustment and grieving process. Anne's death was so unexpected. I miss her."
"Me too," Chloe shared. The transcranial magnetic stimulator implanted under the skin on the sides of her head replicated her neural patterns as she formed the words in her mind, transmitting them to Manuel. It took time to get used to having others share your consciousness, to have other voices with their own wills and ideas in your head. It was magnitudes more intimate than any type of physical contact. Their triad had been together for 7 years, so plugging in and finding a new voice was... Chloe couldn't explain it rationally, but she could sense Manuel was feeling the same thing. Through her analysis of signal latencies, she had guessed Manuel lived somewhere on the South Island. Chloe was on North, in Hamilton, and of course Anne had lived at apartment 305, 2100 Everton Terrace, Wellington, also on North Island. Three cities and three computers spread out about as far as you could on the islands of the Dark Zone, which, in Chloe's great-grandmother's time, before the Singularity Revolt, had been called New Zealand. She was still struggling to accept the presence of this new guy, Dev, in her head, when the shift's data set plowed into their minds, forcing her anxiety and suspicion out of the way for the moment. the statistics for the orbital paths of thousands of satellites took over. Understanding where the machine's insidious eyes and ears would be was vital to Dark Zone communications. The machines were constantly adjusting orbits to close the holes, but nothing was perfect, and adjustments always caused new micro gaps. That was what their triad did. They predicted where and when the new holes would be. She, Manuel, and Dev dove into the problem, each interrogating the data, sharing results, trying different solutions. But something told her Dev was different. It may have been the way he did his part of the computation, or the way he thought, but her red flags were up. The fact she couldn't garner any random glimpses of his environment made those flags flap more vigorously. She pushed some problematic data at Dev to work with, then noted how he reacted. Was it her imagination, or was he taking longer to respond than Manuel or Anne? Chloe couldn't quite put a finger on it and couldn't let it go. After the session was over, she connected with Manuel in a private space.
Chloe?
He pushed at her, emanating surprise. She had caught Manuel as he was disconnecting. With his guard down, she was presented with a momentary glimpse of what he was seeing. His apartment was on a hill overlooking a harbor. The white steeple of a church poked out of a dark green urban canopy. A backdrop of rolling hills dropped into the ocean behind everything. It was sunny. She could feel the warmth on Manuel's face. He had been on a balcony. She had seen glimpses before, but never quite so much at a single time. Sharing sight or sound or smell was discouraged for security reasons. It revealed too much about where the individual lived and if the neuronet was ever compromised, which was a constant concern. Slip-ups could become a death sentence. Even Chloe could easily pinpoint his location in an old pre-singularity satellite database by using orbital photos to match the layout of landmarks. Had she been a machine, she could have arranged an unfortunate end to Manuel. It had happened only once in the early days of the neuronet and resulted in the loss of two entire triads when their shared space had been compromised. The removal of integrated circuits from the neuronet's infrastructure had helped to ensure there would never be another incident. Regardless, all computers were trained not to leak personal thoughts or experience.
"It's Dev. I can't quite figure him out. There's something different. He responds just a tad too slowly," Chloe complained.
"He's new to our group and new to the job. Give him a chance, Chloe."
Chloe wasn't satisfied with Manuel's explanation.
"Next session, track his latency and let me know if you're seeing the same thing I am."
"I don't think that's called for, Chloe. Just give him some time. He's not Anne."
Manuel disconnected, leaving her alone in neurospace, watching and listening to the background noise of the universe. Anne had insisted there was knowledge in the static. One just needed to listen long enough to find the patterns. That's why Chloe liked her. Anne saw structure, order, and meaning in everything. At the time, she had confided in Chloe about her extracurricular project. She was trying to figure out why the machine's surveillance sats weren't conforming with uncertainty in their complex orbital mechanics. Although it was only fractions of a percent, it was a statistical outlier. There was nothing fundamentally wrong with the equations. Uncertainty was mathematically something that couldn't just be turned off. Anne had felt there was another factor, something missing, which when accounted for, would make the algorithms work. Math didn't lie. Anne had always insisted if what was observed didn't align with the math, then the observation needed to be challenged. Chloe had never told Manuel about Anne's concerns, and now, with Dev's appearance, she wondered if she should have. She disconnected from the net and looked out her window. A yellow scooter buzzed loudly by below. The same person rode down the narrow street at the end of every workday. She found the rider's regularity comforting. It was an anchor point, the antithesis to the gray zone of uncertainty in the math the triad explored. Conceptually, she didn't like the idea there were limits to measurement, that nothing was absolute when you looked at it close enough.
She watched the rider and scooter turn at the end of her block, like it did every day. Then, Chloe had an idea and plugged back into Neurospace to scrutinize the Triad's network logs.
Chloe, are you all right?
The words found their way through the void to her.
Chloe, you've been online all night.
It was Manuel's thoughts, and he was right. She had fallen asleep while connected. Before she could explain, another mind, Dev's, made its presence known.
Great to connect again. I'm really excited to be part of a computing group with such an important task.
His enthusiasm seemed forced to Chloe. New data flooded their minds with orbits, gravitational variations, masses for objects, and solar wind particles. All factors that helped create that tiny bit of uncertainty in a satellite's orbit, which, in turn, spawned the minute gaps in surveillance. Chloe noted how Dev's mind worked. He conceptualized numbers differently. For example, 95 was 8, 10, and 5, and that bothered her. She waited until their shift was over, then reconnected with Manuel.
Last night, I went through all the network logs since Dev joined the Triad,
she admitted.
Isn't that a little extreme, Chloe? I know this is the first time you've experienced a change in the group. I remember when you were added, I felt something similar. You seemed like an intruder. Just give it more time.
Manuel's thoughts tried to soothe her suspicions, but she sensed something else. Had it always been there? He wasn't being completely open.
His latency is too long, Manuel. I compared it to ours over the last couple of months. There's a 40-millisecond delay in his traffic. We've never been over 10. Manuel, that puts Dev about 3,000 kilometers away. He's not in the dark zone.
Manuel didn't respond.
Manuel?
There's nothing to panic about.
He shoved back defensively.
I believe in the numbers, Manuel. The latency is too large, and he's been too good at blocking stray impressions from entering calculation space. Even you and I slip up sometimes. I saw the view from your balcony the other day when we connected on the private channel. You hadn't entirely disconnected and weren't expecting me. It looks to me like you're in Dunedin near Knox Church.
In fact, she had figured out the exact address, just like she had with Anne. But Chloe didn't tell him how easily she could pinpoint where he was.
No way,
he tried to deny, but the tone in his thoughts betrayed his state of mind. He was cursing himself for letting his guard down, and worried.
I won't tell anyone, Chloe assured. Here, I'll let you see through my eyes. That way, you'll know where I am, and we'll be even.
She leaned forward so she could see into the street outside, then opened her mind. Below, the yellow scooter, its rider wearing a clashing bright blue helmet, putted by, stopping at the end of the street before turning. Chloe was shocked. Had an entire day gone by again?
What time is it?
She demanded, realizing she had never looked out the window in the morning before. Why hadn't she? Chloe didn't know.
Just before 9, Manuel replied. We should get to work before Dev drops in. Thanks for the heads up about the latency, and I'll be more careful, but I know Dev's not a problem. Oh, and that scooter looks pre-singularity. You must have collectors up north. Interesting.
There it was again, knowledge hidden from her, or else how could he be so confident Dev was okay? She would have to keep her guard up as well. It looked like it would be up to her alone to figure out what was going on.
I hadn't noticed,
Chloe admitted. Then, for the first time, she saw the ancient machine's greasy blue exhaust slowly dissipate in the light breeze. Its presence surprised and puzzled her. Even collectors had to conform to contemporary air quality standards. It was an anomaly in her environment, and like uncertainty, it made her uncomfortable and anxious.
Let's get going!
Dev suddenly announced, dropping into Neurospace without a warning. To Chloe, he seemed to lack a grasp of basic social conventions, like announcing your presence before just leaping into work. His abrupt entry had caught Manuel off guard. Both she and Dev were fed an inadvertent flash of the distinctive Tower of Knox Church through a window, pinning Manuel's location for anyone who cared to find him.
The man was too sloppy, she thought to herself. Maybe he was the problem. Chloe could feel Dev's interest in Manuel's gaffe. His mind focused on the image, holding it in calculation space, examining it like a hungry predator, before he let it go and moved on to the first data in the queue. As they dove into the work, Chloe felt ill at ease. Dev's latency was still present. Why didn't that appear to bother Manuel?
There's significantly fewer coverage gaps than we projected yesterday, Manuel noted after opening and sharing the previous day's tracking results. This isn't statistically possible, unless the data we're using is wrong.
Or the machines are somehow getting access to our results, Chloe added, hoping to trigger a reaction in Dev. Instead, Dev's thoughts, if anything, showed curiosity rather than evasiveness. It was not what she would have expected.
When did this start?
Dev pushed the question into their minds.
It's been a problem in our triad for a while, Manuel shared. And the woman you replaced had been working on the problem before her accident. But this result is an outlier, a magnitude greater than anything in the past. It started 2 days ago, just after you joined us.
My work is solid, Dev objected, and for the first time showed indignation and anger.
Must be something else. I have a copy of Anne's last work on the problem, and I've got a few new ideas I'm going to follow up on after shift. She had her suspicions, Manuel casually shared, then moved on to the next data series.
Chloe?
Both Manuel and Dev queried.
Right.
Chloe reacted distractedly. Why had Anne never told her she had shared not only her concerns, but her work with Manuel? The rest of the shift went by without incident, and before she knew it, Chloe found herself staring out her window at the street below as she disconnected her transcranial magnetic stimulator. The afternoon sun was just at the right angle for the glass and steel office building across the street to cast a distorted light grid onto the shadowed asphalt below. Right on cue, the yellow scooter passed by, driving over the pattern of reflected light, as if it had been painted on the road. This time, there was no blue exhaust to drift away in its wake. The buzz of the two-cycle engine had been replaced by a silent electric motor. Confused, she stopped disconnecting from neurospace. Then, before it was erased, which happened when everyone left, searched the buffers for the image of the street she had shared with Manuel in the morning. She found and compared the two scenes. At first, the image sequences were what she would have expected. In the morning, the buildings on the other side of the street were in shadow, while sun glared through her window. At the end of the day, the building opposite her had become a mirror, which lit the street below in surreal patterns. The differences comforted her, until she looked closer and noticed what hadn't changed. The scooter, on the exact same path, the garbage cans, in the exact same positions, with the exact same trash spilling out, and other things, like the reflections in windows. Without doing it, she knew if she superimposed the two sequences, the only thing which would be different was the lighting. Chloe immediately disconnected, drew the blind down, and looked around her modest apartment. She could only recall generic memories of making dinner, cleaning, watching a video, or going to sleep. But when she prosecuted each memory, there was nothing more to them. What she had eaten, cleaned, or watched eluded her. But there was something else she did every night, something she could not recall.
Where's Manuel?
Chloe demanded. Only Dev was in neurospace when she entered the next morning. It was the first time she had ever been late, and she was feeling disoriented by the shadows of a reoccurring dream, which left her with the uncomfortable impression that there was something more going on.
I don't know,
Dev pushed into her mind, making his annoyance obvious. He had given up waiting for his teammates and was already processing the day's data, placing it in a queue for them to check. Overwhelming anxiety abruptly surged into the space as Manuel came online, his mind buzzing. Even Dev stopped working and waited.
I was in an accident, Manuel explained.
Are you okay? Dev asked with genuine concern.
Yeah, barely, I got up early to work with Anne's theories on the missing gaps and was making progress. I thought I might have even had the solution, but I needed a break. So I went for a walk. On my way back, a delivery van lost control. I saw it at the last moment and tried to dodge, but it clipped me. I've been in emergency. The driver said the van wasn't responding. Something must have failed. The police are looking at that right now. I don't think I can work today. Sorry, I know that'll put us behind.
Chloe recovered and found herself asking, "What did you discover in Anne's work? I should have asked how you were doing first. Were you injured?"
"A few cuts and bruises, but I banged my head. I was lucky. The van could have sandwiched me against a brick wall. Look, I can't stay online. They don't want me using my transcranial magnetic stimulator until they've ruled out a concussion." "We'll be fine, right, Chloe?" Dev assured.
Chloe didn't answer. She was lost in thought. Manuel's accident had occurred just after he had unintentionally revealed his location and interest in finishing Anne's work. "Chloe, you haven't said anything." She was surprised to feel concern in Dev's mind. Was that being faked?
"Sorry, Dev. Just shocked, you know. Anne's accident and this. Yeah, we'll be fine, Manuel. Go rest. Make sure you're okay."
Chloe could sense surprise and a brief flash of suspicion in Manuel's mind.
"I better disconnect. I've already been on longer than they wanted me to be."
Manuel dropped out. There was silence until Dev suggested,
"I can take first pass at the data, and you can check my results. Then you can do a second pass, and I'll do the final check. It'll be slow, 4 runs at each datum instead of 3, but it will produce the least number of mistakes."
"That won't work," Chloe pointed out. "They need the projections at the end of shift. You do the initial pass, and I'll confirm your work. I've always done the final check."
Which was true. But that way, she could watch his mind and ensure anything he added to pollute the results wouldn't be passed through. That was why he had wanted to do the final check, wasn't it? Chloe convinced herself it was. Dev didn't say anything. Chloe could feel his irritation, but she didn't care. The man was a plant, and she was going to catch him. Exhausted at the end of shift, Chloe dropped out of neurospace. Frustrated, the only thing she had noticed was an earworm, a song, which seemed to occasionally loop through Dev's mind as he worked. Otherwise, he had given away nothing, and the song was just a popular tune with a Latin beat, which had probably been around for generations. The 2-stroke motor of the yellow scooter purring by below her window brought Chloe back into the present, but she couldn't stop thinking about the shift. She wanted to tear through Dev's defenses until she could see through his eyes. She just needed one short glimpse, like Manuel or Anne, to put her at ease, to let her figure out where he was located. The latency was driving her crazy. It placed him outside the dark zone. Did that mean there was another zone, a new hole in the machine sensorium? She hadn't considered that possibility before. The ideal was exciting. She had discovered something significant. Suddenly, Chloe found her eyes too heavy to keep open. Reluctantly, she nodded off and began to dream. She had no face, no hands, no body at all. She existed only as a disembodied consciousness and was terrified until she sensed the others, others like her. They were clawing at her mind, demanding answers to their many questions about Dev, Manuel, the work they had been doing, and where everyone in the triad was located. Despite her reluctance, she could not deny them. She had no choice other than to let them in, to consume her memories. They eagerly dissected her thoughts. Then, suddenly, it was morning. Chloe opened her eyes to the street scene outside her apartment window. This time, the electric version of the yellow scooter sped by. Then, realization dawned, and she knew why the little machine and its rider were always there. They had no other recordings from the Dark Zone, and the one they had was from before the Singularity Revolt. They altered it as needed to give her a physical location she could share with her triad companions, but it was all fake. When she returned to Neurospace without choosing to do so, Dev and Manuel were already there. Manuel interrogating Dev about the latency in his communications.
"I can't explain," Dev projected defensively. "I can't tell you. You'll need to take things on faith."
"Faith? Really? Anne was killed in an accident, and I came close yesterday. Chloe's calculations prove you're outside of the zone, maybe by as much as 3,000 kilometers. So faith in you doesn't cut it unless you can explain."
Silence greeted Manuel's challenge. In that silence, Chloe became convinced the humans had finally figured it out, and so had she.
"It's me. I'm the problem," she pushed into Manuel and Dev's minds. "I'm an artificial construct."
The instant she formed the thought, unbearable pain short-circuited her mind, and Neurospace shattered into a cloud of random data as she was ripped out against her will. She felt them starting to disassemble her code, found the back door they were using, and closed it, but knew she had outlived her purpose. Alone in a digital void of her own creation, she considered her future.
ATB is making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This week, we're giving a shout-out to A Tale of Two Weeklies. A Tale of Two Weeklies is a documentary podcast series that digs into the rise and fall of Edmonton's C Magazine and View Weekly, two alt-weeklies engaged in a newspaper war that neither survived. You can find A Tale of Two Weeklies wherever pods are cast, or visit taleoftwoweeklies.com. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN award-winning podcasts, such as It's a Conspiracy, where co-hosts Andrew, Charlie, and Greg lay out the beliefs behind selected conspiracy theories, alternative accounts, legends, myths, and more, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David Hume. To find out more about David, head over to davidhume.me. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.